The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In the days of the prophet Isaiah, which was about 700 BC, the kingdom of Judah was facing some horrible times. The Assyrian army was advancing from the north, conquering kingdom after kingdom. And as all of us probably are aware, by this time, the northern kingdom of Israel was gone. They were no more. They'd already been taken to a captivity and they were gone. And so as Assyria drew closer and closer to Jerusalem, as strange as it might seem, the people of Judah were undecided as to where to turn. Where were they going to turn for deliverance? Where were they going to turn for help that was needed during these horrible times? Some were advocating that they would give themselves up to the Assyrians, while on the other hand, others were looking to the south, believing in an alliance with Egypt would save them. So God in his wisdom sent Isaiah the prophet to warn the people to do neither. There were two key points when you really understand what Isaiah was told by God to go to the people and tell them. One was, the first key to their salvation was to trust in the Lord, not in man. The second important key was God, not man, would provide the stability they needed when all seemed lost. In the book of Isaiah, we have several different exhortations to put trust in God and not in man. I'd like for us to take a look at one of those. And so if you will go with me at this point in the book of Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. We'll read verses 5 and 6. I'll tee you right up front. You may want to put a marker in it. We will come back and forth to it throughout the sermon today. In Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 5, it said, "The Lord is exalted." These are the words from God to Isaiah to give to the people. "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness." Now, like I've told many times before, what is Zion symbolic of? Well, it's either the hill, or it's Jerusalem, the city, or it's a focus upon the church also. And then verse 6. "So God has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times." Remember, they're going through this horrible time. They're going through some really horrible things as these words are being written and spoken to the people. And strength of salvation. "The fear of the Lord is his treasure." The New King James Version states, "The wisdom and knowledge is the stability of your times." If you need strength and you need stability during times of bad, what's going on? The stability of your times, wisdom and knowledge is that stability. And of course, this wisdom and this knowledge that is spoken of here is of the Lord. The words of God, the knowledge of God, who and what is God, what is it that God gives us directions, what is God saying, all of those things, that's what is being spoken about here. In two other translations along the same line, what we've just seen is, one is from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "He," referring to God, "he will be the stability of your times," which I find that one of the best statements. And then from the New International Version, it says, "He will be the sure foundation of your times." Both are correct. Both are right. It is God. It is God. So, brethren, even though we certainly understand that we have been removed by thousands of years from the days of Isaiah, the warning that was given by Isaiah to the people at that time should still ring true in our ears today, as the church of God. In troubled times, it is God who provides the stability of our times. And that comes because of or through having the fear of the Lord. That's what these verses tell us. This is to be a major focus of the Feast of Tabernacles, is to focus on the fear of the Lord. It is to be a major focus of the Feast of Tabernacles. With the beginning of the feast less than a month away, I thought today would be a real good time to begin our look at this major topic. And please understand, the main focus of today's sermon is not on the fear of the Lord, but it is about an aspect of it. So to see how this is true for us today, I'd like for us to notice some of the unstable conditions of our times and the effect that this instability can have on each one of us. Without a doubt, all of us understand, and we certainly would agree with it, we face many differing and disturbing things in our lives today as true believers. I'm not talking about just being part of the world. I'm talking about even within the body of Jesus Christ, even as part of the Church of God. We still face differing and disturbing things in our lives also. In the book of Job, chapter 14, it makes an interesting point, and I'd like for us to go there. And as a result of this verse, I think that we can certainly see that there are many common troubles in every age. So in Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. In other words, this is true in every age. There's going to be troubles on every side. It's what it is saying on all sides and from every, no matter when we lived, if we lived during the time of Isaiah, if we lived during the time of Jesus Christ, if we lived during the time today, there are troubles all around. And this is the point that even Job is making to us here. So what are some of these troubles that we see that are common to every age? Well, sickness, death, natural disasters. We could go through and we could talk about the statistics of what was the major cause of diseases and sickness and death, you know, years ago as compared to now. Are we living longer, but are we in still better health, or what is it? We could do all of that. I'm not going to do that. You can do that on your own. But the point being is these are some of the common things that mankind is full of troubles. Sickness, death, natural disasters, and of course there are also some that are more particular or more peculiar even to our age and our day today, such things as threat of nuclear holocausts. Until the 1950s, we didn't have that. Environmental pollution, back in the 1800s and before, we didn't have that. Inflation, recession, unemployment. Yeah, we could talk about all of that today. It's real. It's rampant. Whatever the causes of it is not the point. The fact is, it's there. It's real. What about AIDS? What about cancer, heart disease? How about road rage? How about drive-by shootings? And then what about the effects that these things can have upon us? Could be for some, there is anxiety and there is fear. And then for others, they react with depression. Are you aware that our society today is referred to as an age of anxiety or an age of the neuroses? Even Christians, true believers, can be affected by these things. We see it because we have people who are Christians who murmur and complain, and we see Christians that may simply exist in a state of joylessness. And as Christians, we're to rejoice in all things. Count it all joy. You know, it's over in James. Count it all joy when you fall into these different trials and temptations and these different situations. Count it all joy. Do we do that? Too many of us don't. Then on the other hand, there are some who seem to not be disturbed by such things. even though they experience the same things which devastate others, the same financial crisis, the same diseases, the same uncertainties, and you can go on and on and on, somehow they still find cause for great joy and stability in their lives. Why? Why is there a different reaction by some? Well, brother, the question I'd ask is there some source of strength that some have found that others have not? Brethren, you and I both believe there is. Or we need to know that there is. It is the Lord God who provides the stability that is needed during our times of trouble. That's what we just saw. That's what we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and your strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Here, in reading from these verses, here we learn how God provides stability. I'd like for us to see a couple of ways of how God provides this needed stability. There are others. I'm just focusing on two here today. The first one is stability comes through, as it says in these verses, wisdom and knowledge. That's what it says. That's what the verse says. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. New King James Version says so. This wisdom and this knowledge, it helps us to face life. It's how we get through the day. It's how we get through this human life. It helps us by guiding us, and it helps us by protecting us from the pitfalls of life. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs, chapter 2. We're going to read several verses here. So you need to just hang in here, but it's a point that we're making. And Proverbs, chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. There you go. So where does this come from? It comes from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. This is who it's for. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yes, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart, when it has been internalized within us. Now, what is this wisdom? It's the knowledge and the understanding of who and what is God and all the words of God that he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, so shall God live. In Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, Jesus Christ is quoting from the book of the law in Deuteronomy. But it tells us way back there that this is where it comes from. We are to internalize this within our heart. And going on, it says, and knowledge is pleasant unto your souls. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. To deliver you from the way of the evil man. Or to deliver you from all the horrible, terrible times that are going on around us. In other words, to give you stability in life, which is what we're talking about. That we can face the day, the week, the month, the years of our life. You can read on. It talks about, but those who leave the paths of righteousness, what's going to happen to them? They're going to walk in darkness. They're going to be still in these same horrible situations that are going on, but they're going to be walking in darkness. In other words, they're going to be without light, without understanding, because they don't have it. We can have it. Those who walk in darkness don't have it. And that's what we need to understand. That's what these verses are telling us. Drop all the way down to verse, let's go down to verse 20. So that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And so what we see, brethren, this wisdom and this knowledge helps us face life by providing comfort and confidence in times of turmoil. We see that also. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from your eyes. He's talking about the words of God, the law, the statutes of judgments, the way of life of God. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in your way safely, and your feet shall not stumble. How do I keep from not being tangled and getting involved in all of these troublesome times that are going on? We just saw it. We just saw it. This is what we just read. Verse 24, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Does that happen to any of us? Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Does that happen to us? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither be afraid of, I read the words in it, but this it's a statement that would go there, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For or because the Lord shall be your confidence, and the Lord shall keep your foot from being taken. Brethren, our awesome God is so willing to provide this wisdom that we need to those who are willing to look to Him. Let's go to the book of James. You know it, but let's go. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verse 5. James, chapter 1, let's begin in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him plead and beg and fast for 40 days. Is this what it says? It's not what it says, is it? Let him ask. If any don't have wisdom. Now, remember, wisdom and knowledge are the things that stabilize us during difficult times. You go, well, I don't have wisdom. If a man does not have wisdom, let him ask God, that gives to all men liberally and upbridles not, and it shall be given him. I didn't write this. I would love to have written this. God stated these words, and he gives to him who asks. Then he says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If he doesn't really believe it, well, I'm asking God for wisdom, but I know he's not going to give it to me. Do you think that he's going to give you wisdom? I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, that's what he just says. He's not. That's what he just says. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we can't go to God saying, I know I don't have wisdom how to deal with in this situation. All these troublesome times are going on. I don't have the wisdom to know how to live with it. Give me the wisdom to know. And you know what he just said? If you ask it in faith, that's knowing. Who is God? Where does all of that come from? The main focus of what we're dealing with today. Having the fear of the Lord. And again, that's not the main topic. It is the main topic, but we're not focusing on it. But that's the answer. How does this come? By having the fear of the Lord. That's how this comes. So the first way how God provides this needed stability is through wisdom and knowledge. The second way of how God provides the needed stability is through salvation. Back at Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6 again. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the stability of your times comes through strength of salvation. Those words would be written in for us to really be clear and to see it, but that's what he's saying. And then he continues and he says, the main point is the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The New King James says, the strength of salvation. This salvation of God is there to support us and to help us face death. Remember what we just said. We saw wisdom and knowledge helps us to face life. And it is through the strength of salvation that helps us to face death. Knowing God will save us for all eternity is going to bring us out of this physical life into an eternal existence that is going to be from that moment forever forward. We can better face the adverse conditions and circumstances of this life. I want us to think about the example of the Apostle Paul. Without a doubt, he had a strong hope, a strong faith, a strong knowing, looking to God of how he was going to deliver him from here, and he was going to bring him to eternity in the kingdom of God. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, in other words, he said, in other words, if we die, that's what he's saying, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If we are aware of these things, if we know these things, if we're living our life according to this knowledge and to this understanding, to this wisdom, then we're looking to God for the salvation that's going to happen, then this is how we approach it. Drop down to verse 5. Now he that works us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's giving to us the wherewithal is needed that we're going to be saved. This is what he's saying. Verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, in this flesh and blood and bone body that we're in, we are absent from God or absent from the Lord. In other words, we're not in his presence. We're still in this physical existence. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, we say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We do what we do in this physical life, and he gives us the wherewithal that we need to be able to face the trials and the circumstances, the difficult times in our lives, the wisdom and knowledge to be able to bear up under and to live through our day-to-day lives because we have the knowledge of the eternal salvation. You see what I'm saying and where we're going with this? This is what we're seeing. And that's what we would be looking to. And as a result of knowing that, we know that we can have confidence even in this life to get by the day-to-day struggles and the day-to-day situations. Let's also take a look at Paul's attitude as a result of this knowing, of this hope, of this faith, of what God is going to do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, in other words, this knowledge of death, because we have this knowledge of it, that is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment, or then the resurrection. We are aware of this. We know this. But through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, day by day, within us, the man within, we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 17, for our light affliction, this is what he calls this life. Now, you could pause right here and do a study on the life of Paul. How many times he was beaten, how many times he was beaten with rods, he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead. Then they cut his head off, and he says, and this light affliction. Okay, you see his approach, you see his attitude, this is the point that I'm getting to. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and however long this physical existence we live, and however long this physical existence we strive against the principalities of this world, the spirits of darkness that come against us, that would want to destroy us, no matter how long that is, whether it be 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120, or whatever it is, this light affliction is but for a moment compared to living with God in the spirit body for all eternity. This is what he is saying. It works for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. In other words, we're not looking at here, we're looking at there, you know, being with God. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're just physical. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What an attitude. If every time that we're faced with any kind of whatever difficult situation, we could call it, whatever, I don't care how bad it seems, if we could have the attitude of Paul and say, this light affliction is only for a moment, would that change our whole outlook? And the answer is, yeah, which is what it's supposed to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm not done here. Romans 8. Beginning in verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I had an elder one time during a counseling who was one of these guys that was much older than I am even now. And I was much younger then, and he was the second guy in a counseling, and we're going along and talking and all and talking to somebody. And he hasn't said a word the whole thing except the normal greetings when you get there, but he's not giving any counsel, not giving any advice. He's just the second guy sitting there. And then this man was talking about, but I got all these problems, and da-da-da. And suddenly this elder just spoke up and said, they may kill you, but they can't eat you. And I looked at him, and I thought about that, and I have used that so many times. Because the next moment, if they kill you, I mean, it's not going to be that bad. This is what he was saying. They're not going to kill you. And the worst thing they can do to you physically is they remove your body, but they're not going to eat you, meaning you're not going to be totally destroyed in God. That's what he was saying. And I thought, what wisdom coming from somebody that didn't say a word the whole time. And then he didn't say anything else the rest of the counseling. But I remember the statement that he made. Well, this is what Paul is saying. This is what Paul is saying. For if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us or on our behalf. He goes to God the Father on our behalf. I'm having this bad day and all these people are coming against you and woe is me and I don't know how to deal with this. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We take it to God. That's the solution. That's what we do. We take it to Jesus Christ. Yeah, we may have to call somebody on the phone and say, I need somebody to pray for me right now, you know, because I'm having a difficulty. And that's okay. This is not saying anything contrary to this. And you may do that. We may do this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to this. The horrible things could be going on, troublesome times in our lives. Listen to this. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can anything separate us from the love of God? And the answer is, I don't know. We have to answer it on our own. Could we let anything separate us from the love of God? You bet. Do we have to? No way. We make that decision. God has already decided. It's already written down. Nothing is going to separate us if we don't allow it to separate us. God is there. God is there for us. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that nothing is what he's saying. I am persuaded that neither death nor life. That pretty much sums everything up, doesn't it? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height or depth or any such creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I think that we should be able to see that this wisdom and this knowledge and this salvation found only in God our Father provides the stability that we need for our times. We see wisdom and knowledge providing stability and facing life. And we see that it is salvation that is providing the stability to face death. It's all covered. Together, they provide, it says in the New American Standard Bible, great wealth. And then in the NIV, New International Version, it says a rich store. The King James says treasure. What do you call it? What is God is providing us through all of this? Whatever it is, the term that we would be comfortable with, it probably would fit. King James calls it treasure. The New American Standard calls it wealth. The NIV calls it a rich store. In other words, it's huge. It's a lot. Treasure. Now, having said all of this, what is the key to this treasure of wisdom, knowledge, and salvation from the Lord, which is the stability of our times? Well, let's go back again to Isaiah 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength and salvation. And the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Here it is fine. We find the key to the stability in our lives is the fear of the Lord. That's the key. The NIV states the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. That's probably the best way of stating it of all. In other places, meaning in other scriptures, we can see the fear of the Lord is essential in a lot of other areas of life as well. And I want to look at just a few of those. One of the essential things for having the fear of the Lord is to having knowledge and wisdom. The first point is it is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Pay attention to that last part. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, God could never do this. God is not going to do that. You're just raising your hand and saying, look at me, everybody, I'm a fool. God can. God will. It's we're saying he can't. He can. That's what God here is calling a fool, despises it. The wisdom and instruction coming from God to say God can't do this, that's calling God a fool. We really are the ones who are the fool when we do that. And a second one essential is it is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Another essential, it is essential to receiving salvation. The fear of the Lord I'm talking about. Because it is necessary to be accepted by God. To having the fear of the Lord is necessary to be accepted by God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10 and verse 34, beginning in verse 34. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that man is no respecter of persons. Verse 35. But in every nation, in other words, it's not just to the Jews, but he's opening it up even to the Gentiles. This is what he's referring to. But in every nation, he that fears him, he that has the fear of the Lord, is what he is saying. and works righteousness, in other words, lives the godly way of life, is accepted with or by him, him meaning God. Having the fear of the Lord is essential to being accepted by God. A second point under that, the message of salvation is given to those who have the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Acts 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. So the message of salvation is given or sent to those who have the fear of the Lord. And then a third necessity of having the fear of the Lord, it is necessary for spiritual growth. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear the Lord. So we ask, why is fear of the Lord necessary? Well, let's see some reasons here. Let's go back into Scripture. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 tells us, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. That's good. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, I keep doing the same thing over and over. I still keep doing this evil thing, and I don't know how to get rid of it. Yes, we do. It's fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. This is what it says. In other words, having a deep reverence for God and His righteous judgments is an effective motivator. And by departing from evil, we turn to God. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. It tells us, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. We think that having fear of the Lord is really, well, that's an important thing, but it's not really that big of a thing. Oh, yes, it is. Here it tells us, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And the implication is, by the second part of this verse, therefore, as a result of that, our children will have a place of refuge. It extends all the way down even to our children because of having fear of the Lord. That's how important it is. In other words, when we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes a source of great blessings. It's even passed on to our children. It's not just blessings for us. And now we continue on here in Proverbs 14 and verse 26. We see the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So we see, such as wisdom and knowledge and salvation and confidence and refuge. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, enabling us to depart from the snares of death. Eternal life as opposed to eternal death. That's how important it is. Brethren, the real heart and soul of this sermon is those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they are lacking the knowledge, the wisdom, and the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because they do not have fear of the Lord. Please understand, brethren, by having a proper fear of the Lord, we are prompted as a result. We are motivated. Prompted, I like that word even better. We are prompted to turn from evil and therefore to turn to God. This This is when we find his knowledge and wisdom and salvation. In turn, this provides us with the stability of our times, how to face life. When this stability is real in our lives, it is then, I think, that we can rightly state with the Apostle Paul what he stated over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What difference does it make what the circumstances are? What difference does it make how bad things may seem in our lives? They may be. But it is now that we can say, knowing that God is there for me, with me, to deliver me, to even bring me to his family, eternal family in the kingdom and the family of God, I am not going to fear what man can do unto me. To put it in the words of this elder, they may kill you, but they can't eat you. So, brethren, we need to take hold and be aware of and realize with all of our being that God truly provides us with the stability we need for whatever the troubled times may be or what those troubled times may become. Whatever they are, God is there for us and with us. And the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, we are so blessed. We have been so blessed by God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.